Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, we're going to start again with 78.25. You already make part of it. Ata loka samvahartai vaisha tesham bhakti prakriya prachina samskara vashad va. Now, it might be suggested, Purva Paksha, that their devotional behavior was only for the purpose of setting an example for the people in general, or else it was due to traces of old conditioning. Answer to that, naiva. Ubayatra piva soyata padikritam madira madhandaha itiva tatra vesha sambhavat. No, it is not like that, like this. Because in both cases they could not have been engrossed in that devotional service. They were apparently engrossed. They were very excited. They were showing great emotions. If they were simply doing it to show people how to behave right, they wouldn't have been so emotional about it. Neither if it was just, you know, they used to be devotees in their past life, now they're beyond that, but they're just sort of doing it. But they wouldn't be so excited about it if they were now fully realized and really weren't interested in such sentimentalism anymore. They wouldn't have been so emotional. Similar to the idea that a person blinded by the intoxication of wine is not even aware of whether he's dressed. That's absorption or engrossment. You don't even know if you're naked or not. I guess that some person who's engrossed in being intoxicated, he doesn't know what's happening in the real world. He's engrossed in his illusion of being on top, you know, flying in heaven in his drunken intoxication. That's what he's absorbed in. And therefore, whether he's where he is and what he's doing, even if he's wearing his clothes, he's oblivious to that. If you're not, that's evidence that if you're not seriously interested in something, then you won't have an emotional attachment to it. You may pretend, but you really won't have the feeling. But they're not, obviously not pretending. They're showing great, they're expressing great emotions, which show that they really feel this devotion. Bhagavati tu avesha. Paramaham samaha uninam anveshaniya charano ityatva yajuchikata virod anveshaniya twa abhidhanat. Now, and this is from the beginning of the chapter, isn't it? 40, this is Paramaham samaha uninam. This is from the beginning, 15? Okay, that's fine.
Paramaham samaha uninam is 37.
Okay. Anyway, we see how they were not at all engrossed. Wait a minute. Oh yes, I read that. I didn't mean the English verse. We see how they were not at all engrossed in anything else, according to the statement, my four sons, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar, who were born from my mind, are your predecessors. They were traveling throughout the world, throughout the material and spiritual skies, completely free from desire. They weren't attached to anything. But all of a sudden, when they saw Narayan, they got very excited. Here there's some attachment to Narayan. We have explicit description of their absorption in the personality of God and in the words. His feet are seated by the great sages among the Paramahamsas, which declares that sages seek after him, contradicting the idea that they wander aimlessly. I think we got a problem here. I think we have to reinterpret this, that it's not a statement about sages in general, which it's normally understood as. They saw the Lord whose feet is seeked after by sages. But maybe we should read it here as them, the sages, were looking for his feet, and they found him. I'm not sure about that. But it seems like the general statement just says that sages in general, sages among the Paramahamsas, seek after the Lord. They do have an attachment. Okay, in general, actually self-realized sages, not just those who are pretending to be liberated, but those who are really liberated, they're attracted to the Supreme Lord. They don't wander aimlessly. They don't have any material aim, but they have their transcendental aim of connecting themselves with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sages in general, or sages who are actually Paramahamsas, and that includes the four Kumaras. Okay, can I wait till the end of the paragraph, or you want to make a comment?
Yeah. Sages are attracted to the feet of the Lord, and
who are
they? Also one of the sages.
They're sages. Well, let's qualify it. Real sages. Sages who are really liberated. And that means if you say, well, here's a sage, he's not attracted, well, then I'll say he's not really liberated. Well, that contradicts the idea. If they're looking for the feet of the Lord, then they're not wandering with no aim at all. They have that aim. They may not have any other aim, any material aim, but they have the aim of becoming Krishna conscious. Panchami tvasamba nishitajnana lavituta shesha malanam bhavat svabhavanam Atma Ramanam Uninam Anavarata Parigunita Gunagana Ijyatra Gadye Tareka Nishtatvam Abhyuktam. Yeah, we're talking about other sages here. Exclusive devotion to the Lord is indicated in the prose passage of the fifth canto, a passage about great sages, which says, all the great sages, who are thoughtful and saintly persons, incessantly recount your spiritual qualities. These sages have already burned up all the unlimited dirty things, and by the fire of knowledge, strengthened their detachment from the material world. Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. And then more evidence from scripture, from Bhagavatam. Ajita Ruchira Lila Krishna Sara Itra Triva Cha. It is also indicated in the words, he, Shukadeva, became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Now going back to the verses under discussion. Atrapi, the verse is describing Kumara's visit to Vaikuntha. Atrapi, tene shanir vitimava puravam dusho naha idyadel sukadatma api sakshan evotam. So, in the verses currently under discussion, moreover,
It is explicitly said that he, the Lord, bestows happiness. Okay? In such words as, the sages are supposed to be looking for happiness in emerging into Brahma. But here, the sages themselves, the Kumaras, say that he's giving the happiness, Narayan. By this, O Lord, our eyes have experienced profuse joy. Happiness can be experienced through the medium of all the different senses. Although the happiness is felt in the heart, it's a function, let's say, of the mind or really of the soul, quality of the soul, happiness, distress. But it's experienced in the mind, but it's experienced in response to sensations, or again, to thoughts. But very often, the cause of the happiness is something you experience with your senses. So in this case, it's a visual perception of Lord Narayan. So it says the eyes have become pleased. That's poetic. Lakshanavritti. It's not the eyes become pleased. It's the soul that's connected to the mind, that's connected to the sense of sight. But you can say poetically, the eyes become pleased. Atra purvokta hetos cha stutau pratyuto palamba prasanga cha sneavalokakalaya vidi samsmishatam iti sakshat uttes cha dvishame sukam jatam iti anasaptir eva vyajiteti apinavya kyeyam. Okay, somebody may give the poor fuck here. Okay, the eyes are satisfied, but the sage himself, who's not attached to his eyes, he doesn't experience anything from it. Just the eyes, external eyes are satisfied, that's all. So the sages actually are. Brahman realize that they're not interested in Bhagavan, it's just their eyes are getting excited. That's the poor fuck here. So we do not choose to interpret this as meaning that since only their eyes were pleased, that's what it says, their eyes were pleased. Does that mean only their eyes were pleased? They did not actually become attached to him. Their eyes became attached, that's his external organ. We avoid this interpretation. For the reasons already stated, it would mean that their prayers were dishonest. And there also is the direct statement that was made about them. His affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of their hearts. That would also be contradicted if we proposed that they didn't really experience any pleasure, it was just their eyes getting excited. Let's see the commentary, which is a short commentary. The four sages were so spontaneously and enthusiastic, so spontaneous and enthusiastic in their display of devotion for Lord Narayan, that they could not have been pretending, as Mayavadis usually are. Nor could they have been motivated by some material condition, as materialists who go to the Supreme Lord usually just have something to get from him. Real devotional enthusiasm cannot be evoked by any material means. The words cited here that begin, Paramahamsa Mahamuninam, are from the verse under discussion. In text, I began in text 78.2. I guess that verse is under discussion, right? We're discussing a whole passage. Can you help me with that? Go back to file 22, the top, 78.1, or file 21. Check. How many verses are under discussion? A whole set of verses. I'm just making plural. Yeah, so I make it plural. Yeah, it's like nine verses. So the verse is under discussion. Plural. Yeah, it's wrong to say the verse under discussion because it's not only one verse under discussion. One of the verses under discussion. The prose passage from the Bhagavatam's fifth canto was spoken by the priests. That was that long prose passage about sages always thinking about the Lord. being attracted to him. That, from the fifth canto, was spoken by the priests of Maharaj Nabi when Lord Vishnu appeared at the sacrifice they performed to a saint to obtain a son for the king. Nabi is the son of father of Rishabhdev. He prayed for a son, he got Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu himself came to award him the benediction. And then he became his son, or at least his empowered incarnation became his son. Good reason has just been given for dismissing the argument that because only the eyes were attracted, the Kumaras were not in fact attracted. Namely, that scripture definitely affirms that perfect sages, like them, are not inclined to pursue anything material, but still sometimes become eager to pursue the personality of Godhead. Okay, any questions? Yes, Rip.
The quote you have at the end of the translation, yeah. It says, his affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of their hearts.
Riddhi samspushanta.
I think the original translation that you give, I mean, of the verse, you say that his affection smiling and glancing touches the core of the heart.
Oh, well, it could be taken either way, because it doesn't. There's no indication of whose heart it is. Just riddhi samspishantam, in the heart. It can be taken generally or specifically.
I'm just saying in terms of the purvapakshas, that, I mean, again, somebody... a reader would say, oh yeah, he touches the core of the heart, but not necessarily their heart, it's just someone's heart.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could argue like that. But I can't push it because there's no there, there's no pronoun there. I can't fake it and say that then it is.
But here in the quote you have it. So I mean one that
should I take it out? Would that help?
I don't know, I'm just thinking that quote has the match of the original verse.
I can change the original verse.
I mean, one of them has, I mean, like one of
the... Let's go look at the context of the verse. That is... 39? Okay, let me pull up the verse. Jai Shri Yimai Yitai. No, I don't want that. Okay, 15, let's say 27. I'm just looking at the verses just before it. It's not 39.
It's 39.
39, okay, thank you. Verse before it says that they saw the Lord with all his opulence and his paraphernalia. Well, this is how they saw it. It was their experience that he was touching the heart. So it was touching their heart. I think, you know, no problem with, we can justifiably say he was touching their heart because they're experiencing it directly. So I can just change the translation from 315.39 and add there to make it consistent. But to do that, let's do it right now. I got to catch all the places where it shows up, starting from file 21. You know, hold on a second, I'm going to search for it. To make sure we don't have it come up two or three times and not have it translated the same way each time. If you don't mind, have your patience here. I'm going to, I first have to find the file. So, Dharma's, Bhagavad, we start with 21 because the other chains start with 21. And I'll just search for the word samspishanta and make sure I get it each time. Oh no, it starts at 22? Okay, I'll open up 22. Shant. Okay, it's there in 78.2. Touch the core of... Auspicious is meant... The problem is, the whole verse is in the present tense. The Lord is the reservoir of pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction. And his affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of the heart. Ah, boy. Okay, I'll make a note about it. Whether I can... Okay, I'll just make it all past tense. The Lord was the reservoir of all pleasure. Well, the Lord is the reservoir of pleasure. His auspicious presence was meant for everyone's benediction. And his affectionate smiling and glancing touched the core of their hearts. The Lord's black, beautiful body, bodily color was blackish. And his broad chest was the rec- broad chest was the resting place of God's wonders. Try that. Who glorifies the entire spiritual world, the summit of all the heavenly planets. Thus it appeared that the Lord was personally spreading the beauty and good fortune of the spiritual world. Last sentence is already in the past tense. I'm making the first sentence present tense. The Lord is the reservoir of pleasure. I think that's okay. Now let me just search if it comes up again. Okay, there's a different core of the hearts and different verse. Okay, that's it in 22. Let me see if it shows up previously in 23. You have the number where we are now? So I can find it again? Okay, we're okay now. I've made it consistent. We can continue. Any other questions? Yes. Sorry, Gabriel.
This passage, the fifth canto.
Yes. Spoken by the priests of Nabi.
Yes, yes. That's they. The very end of sentence, thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. How to understand that they have attained the Krishna's qualities?
Okay, let me see. Where is that passage?
It's last sentence of the translation.
What is the paragraph number?
Thus they have attained...
No, paragraph number 78 point what?
78.25.
No, I need actually, where is that? Oh yeah, okay, here it is. Asam bendishitakanan on the Vidu Shashesha Mamanamba Vatsalana Mamanamba Munya. And okay, any questions? Sir?
Then that they have attained your qualities, what do you mean that? Did they become like the Lord or what do you mean?
Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Okay, this is Prabhupada's translation, I'm almost sure. Bhavat Svabhava Amam. How do you take Bhavat Svabhava? It means that they have assumed your nature. Mama Sardarmyam Agata. The sages, Idam Gyanam Upashvitya. Mama Sardarmyam Agata. Sages understand this transcendental knowledge, and they assume a nature like my nature. That means they become fully spiritual. That's all. They assume their own spiritual nature, which is just like the Lord's spiritual nature in quality. And that's what Bhavat Svabhavam is supposed to mean. Maybe we can change qualities to nature, if that is less confusing. they have attained your nature and are fully set, your spirit, your transcendental nature, and are fully self-satisfied. Let me check if this is Prabhupada's translation. Is this refit? No, what verse number is it? 5311.
Yeah, okay.
Let me see what the Bhagavatam that we have printed as Prabhupada's translation. Thus they have attained your qualities, is what Prabhupada said. Well, I don't think this affects any of Jiva Goswami's explanation, so I don't know if I should change Prabhupada's translation here. I think I'll leave it, because that's what Prabhupada said. Yes? Yeah, that's why Prabhupada said it.
But there's no contradiction.
But it created some confusion here.
Not all the qualities, of course, and didn't historically include as Krishna Deva. Some basic qualities of Krishna Deva attained in that.
Yeah, but then Savigarbha was asking, what qualities are we talking about here?
Well, there's 78% of qualities. So
yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. I think we'll let it stand. It's Prabhupada's translation and it doesn't conflict with what Jiva Goswami is saying. I changed Prabhupada's translation to make it fit Jiva Goswami, but I'm not going to unnecessarily change it. Please. Actually, go ahead.
What the Guru actually said, that Jiva Goswami was making an argument that they couldn't just have their eyes been attracted to the Lord because it went to the core of the heart, the experience. Also, we see examples of, I think, Dhruva Maharaj and Narada Muni in Bhagavatam, when they saw the Lord, then it describes that their senses became animated separately, and they became attracted just like wild animals who go to the forest on their own. And Narada Muni also recounts the same thing, that his senses, as if separately by themselves, started being attracted to the Lord, and he lost the vision of himself to the Lord as a result. So maybe.
But that doesn't really mean that the senses are disconnected from the soul in such a condition. That's a transcendental condition, not a material intoxication. So what it is the senses actually are disconnected from the material mind and intelligence and ego. But they're definitely, when you're experiencing such ecstasies, if they're really real ecstasies, then there is a connection with the spiritual mind and intelligence. But it works in strange ways, so it looks like oblivion, but it's not really. Now it's under the influence of yoga maya. They forget who they are, but really it's not a function of ignorance at all. And it's not at all proof that the senses are not connected to the self and they're acting independently. Connection's there, but it's hidden.
Not about disconnection, but about something.
Just looks like a person who's intoxicated by Krishna consciousness. He seems to be oblivious to the world, but somehow he gets everything done right because he's not really oblivious. Yeah. Yes.
Another question about the experience of bliss after seeing the Lord and Jubilus and Arby said, can be that absorption couldn't have been possibly caused by either their acting as if to give example to people in general or because of their previous condition.
Yes.
Rupa Goswami says in Bhaktirasamrita Singh about Chaya Ratya Vasa and Pratibhimba Ratya Vasa. He says that Pratibhimba Ratya Vasa sometimes happens to personalists and it appears to be genuinely spiritual and exalted, even on the level of somebody who has as his presumptive emotion. So it looks like even a personalist can still have
But that's only a superficial appearance of Baba. One who is certainly one who's fully self-realized can see through the show, the false show. And even someone who isn't fully self-realized but has studied the Rasa Shastra, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was able to detect Lord Chaitanya's state of bhava, even though he wasn't experiencing that himself, but he knew the technical theory of it. So if you know the theory of Rasa Shastra, You can tell the difference between the shadow attachment and real ruchi, ruti. You can see, you can tell the difference. It's not the real thing. And anybody who's a little expert can tell that it's imitation. Just like a jeweler can take your so-called diamond and see that the specific density isn't right. It's not diamond, it's a piece of glass. Although to the eye you can't tell the difference, but if you measure it scientifically you can tell the difference.
Yes, Kojima is an example that there could be a third option besides those two mentioned by Jiva Goswami, because the person who experiences Rajavasa, he doesn't even try to imitate it, he just experiences it, he even thinks that it's a Jaina thing. So many other people may also be slightly like this display, but he doesn't do it out of his condition, and he doesn't do it deliberately to teach people in general the way to behave. It just happens because of the influence of certain transcendental personalities
in
the place.
That's another possibility. Anyway, not mentioned here, but it is another possibility. Okay. I think we move to the next paragraph. Tasma, Atma Ramana, Ramanas Pada Pwad, Brahmakyam Atma Vasbeva Shri Bhagavan. Therefore, inasmuch as the personality of Godhead is the object of delight for self-satisfied sages, the divine personality of Godhead is none other than the real self known as Brahman. Okay, because Brahman is what Atmaramas is supposed to take their pleasure in. Well, that's where they're really getting pleasure, so he must be the real Brahman. Tatrapi, the verse, Chakara te sham sankshobam akshadudusham api chitta tanvo. That's from the description here of what the Kumaras experienced. Iti shravana tatopi gana prakashaha. But he is even more full, a manifestation of the self, than Brahman. Bhagavan is a more complete manifestation of the truth than Brahman is. As we hear the words, they experienced a change both in body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Okay, tad, vichitra, Sri Bhagavad Anga Opang Ad Abhinivesha Darshanananda, Vaichitri, Chopalabhyate, Sachanyata Anupapatya, Sarupa Shakti Vilasaru Baiveti. Spelling mistake here. Rupa's a long U. Fixed it. Okay? We take note of that, and also of the great variety of ecstasies experienced by the sages when their sense of sight became involved in the wonders of the various limbs and other parts of the body of the personality of Godhead. These must be manifestations of the play of his internal energy, because nothing else could explain the given facts. The given facts. This is a logic called, what is it called? Anyata Anupapati. What does that mean? Anybody know the logic? Anyata Anupapati. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't follow logically. It's a kind of reasoning. That Devadatta, it's the same thing. Devadatta must be eating at night. Because he's getting fat and he never comes for prasadam. He never eats during the day. So he must be eating sweets at night in his room. So Devadatta Prabhu, we presume that he's eating at night. So there's a presumption. This anyata anupapati. The facts can't be explained otherwise. So they must, the yoga maya, the spiritual energy of the Lord must be acting on them. Otherwise they wouldn't be exhibiting these ecstasies the way they are. That they are so obsessed in seeing the various parts of the Lord's body, that means that they're actually affected by the Lord's Sarup Shakti. And that means that whatever that is, that experience is something better than the realization of Brahman. because they have traded one for the other. Okay, now a Purvapaksha. Nanu Bhavatu Tesham Anandaki Adikyat Tasmin Yuvishesha Sarupanandasyaiva Ganapratashata Upadi Vaishishtyad. Let us grant, a doubtful person may say, that because their ecstasy was so great, the bliss inherent in the non-differentiated reality of the self assumed a concrete visible form in him, Narayan, by their imagining special features in it. I'm going to change him to Lord Narayan, just so nobody gets confused what we're talking about. So they're actually attached to Brahmananda, but their Brahmananda assumed a special form. It imposed itself on Brahman, Narayan. Narayan just happens to be standing there. And they're full of the bliss of Brahman. And so they see him and they see him as not different from Brahman, so they, you know, that bliss reflects on Narayan. It's not really coming from Narayan, it's coming from Brahman. That's the argument. By their imagining special features in it. They're imagining that the Absolute Truth is a person. There's a person standing there. They're thinking about the Absolute Truth. Just like, you know, Lord Chaitanya saw a sand dune and thought it was Govardhan. So they're seeing Narayan and thinking that he's the Absolute Truth. It's just the delusion of their ecstasy. That's the Purvapaksha. They're really Brahmana. They're really immersed in thought of Brahman, actually. Yato, there's a little more to the argument here. Yato vishuddha sattvamsha bhavitayam chittavrittau yad brahma spurati tadeva gani bhuta kanda vishuddha sattvamaye bhagavati spuratara dhyastateya tadaikyam apanayam tasyam visheshata eva spurati. So the Purvapaksha, who's a Mayavadi, continues. Indeed, Brahma appears in the thoughts of a mind which has become imbued with a portion of the pure mode of goodness. That's the Mayavadi theory. And in the pure mode of goodness, and it appears in a very distinct form in a mind. The Absolute Truth appears in a very distinct form in a mind that has become one with Brahman. By the manifest reflection of Brahman upon the personality of Godhead. There's a lot of talking out there. Can you find out who's talking? Okay, this is a complicated sentence. Let's try it again. Indeed, Brahman appears in the thoughts of a mind which has become imbued with a portion of the pure mode of goodness. And it appears in a very distinct form in a mind that has become one with Brahman by the manifest reflection of Brahman upon the personality of Godhead, who embodies concretely the unlimited totality of pure goodness. We usually don't credit the Mayavadis for understanding what Vishuddhasattva is, but they're using the term as what God is made out of. God is illusory, but he's made out of pure goodness. And pure goodness is derived from the Absolute Truth, Brahman. So the Absolute Truth reflects on this illusion of a God, personality of Godhead. Anyway, let's try to understand what's being said here. Okay, it takes the mode of goodness to purify your mind so you can see Brahman. So there are different levels on which you can see Brahman. You can approach Brahman from different sides. You can think about something and it will lead you to understanding of Brahman. So meditation on the personality of Godhead, even though it's illusion, according to the Mayavadis, can help you purify your mind and come in contact with the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, you can understand the absolute truth. Sattvam yad brahma darshan. Absolute truth, the personality of God is just a, you know, you use him as a tool for advancing your mode of goodness so you can realize Brahman. And Brahman is reflected on the personality of Godhead. And Brahman seems to become visible, manifest, in the form of the personality of Godhead. Even though the absolute truth ultimately is not visible. But you get something, it's like a deity or an idol. You know, the idol represents, the Murti represents the transcendental absolute truth. I'm talking Mayavad philosophy now. The deity represents the absolute truth. You can see the deity, you can't see the absolute truth. So seeing the deity helps you realize the absolute truth. Like that. Personality Godhead is just a dummy. And by meditating on him, you become qualified to realize the absolute truth. Oh boy. Okay, enough Mayavadi philosophy. Then, what's said after this? Okay, we're not done yet. I'm lost. Oh, great. Yeah, okay. Okay, you see, the Purvapaksha continues all the way to the end of the paragraph, so we're still the Mayavadis talking. Still Purvapaksha. Ata eva Sri Vigvahadi para brahmanor abedavakyam abhitad atyanta tadatmya patyapeksha yaiva. Thus, when statements are presented, proposing the non-difference of the personality of Godhead's divine form and the supreme Brahman, what is being described is the unavoidable fact that the personality of Godhead is altogether dependent on Brahman as the source of his existence. Mayavadis don't accept that the body of God is the absolute truth. The body of God is duality. It's illusion. Absolute truth is beyond duality. So they have to make a figurative interpretation of statements in Shastra that the body is the absolute truth. It's just that the body doesn't exist separate than the absolute truth. It's completely dependent on the absolute truth, the body of God. That's their argument. Of course, we can say, well, the body of a cockroach is also dependent on the absolute truth in the same way. What's the difference between the body of God and the body of a cockroach? Okay, Purvapaksha is continuing. Is that inside? Ata eva, tatra tatra padav, eka eva nirbeda paramananda samupalabhyate, natu vishesh akara gando pi. In whatever imposed conceptions the sages encountered, therefore it was only the supreme ecstasy of non-duality that they actually perceived. Not even a trace of varied form. Okay, they're there with Narayan, but they're really seeing impersonal Brahman. This is the argument. Sorry. Tad upadhir apekshanam tu pratipada tadananda samadhi gata kautika nibandhanam. Whatever regard they paid to certain imposed conceptions was only an effect of the curious delight they experienced at every moment in their trance of ecstatic meditation. So, in other words, these are just impersonal ecstasies that they think they're realizing the absolute truth as a person. It's just expression of their Brahmananda, their curious delight. So they're making up fictions in their mind about the personality of Godhead out of their ecstasy of Brahman. Tasmat katam anena pramanena tad tadupadinam api paratattva karatvam sadhyate. So how is it proven on evidence of this that these various imposed conceptions were real manifestations of the Absolute Truth. Various imposed conceptions. The idea of the body of God and the different limbs and the beauty and the attractiveness and the sound and the smell and the taste of this manifestation. These are all imposed conceptions. They're not, therefore, real manifestations of the Absolute Truth. This is the Mayavadi argument. Now, we're going to look at Jiva Goswami's reply to this. I'm going to ask a question before we start it. But first, let's read the commentary. Can we read the commentary first?
Yeah.
Actually, we'll do this for homework. But the rule is, don't look ahead to the next paragraph. You're not allowed to look at the next paragraph. The homework assignment is, you answer it. What's your answer to this Purvapaksha? You can study this 19, study the Purvapaksha, and give your answer. Write it down, if you like. One paragraph. And then we'll compare our answers to Jiva Goswami's answer, see how close we get to him. But don't look at 7820. I'll read you the commentary, which might give you some more information about what the Mayavadis think. Self-satisfied sages want the Absolute Truth and nothing else. Actually, this is a test. I never give any tests. This is a quiz. You have to write it down and hand it in tomorrow, okay, at class. Bring it with you. One paragraph. Paragraph can be as long as you want, but one paragraph answering this Purvapaksha without looking at Jiva Goswami's answer. Yeah. We don't have.
Print out
the one paragraph. Can you do that with the commentary? Can you do it soon so everybody has time to do the homework?
Sure.
Okay. Now the commentary. And give the commentary too. Self-satisfied sages want the Absolute Truth and nothing else. But the best of them are attracted by the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the personality of Godhead must be the Absolute Truth. Moreover, he is full of variety. Material energy cannot create this variety in him. Therefore, he must have spiritual energies. Okay, now the Mayavadis. Impersonalists of the Mayavad school cannot understand this. They interpret the facts otherwise. As they see it, the personality of Godhead is another illusion, although a special one. They take it as self-evident that Brahman alone is absolutely real. Nothing else exists separately. All duality expands from Brahman by imposition of upadis, imaginary features. Ordinary persons are created by finite upadis. The persons, the jivas, are created as illusions. And the Supreme Person is created... Okay, ordinary persons are created by finite upadis, or imaginary features. And the Supreme Person is created by an infinite one. For a person approaching the success of self-realization, Brahman begins to reveal itself in his finite consciousness. It is convenient for these partially realized persons to meditate on God as a person, who is a projection of Brahman onto the totality of the pure material mode of goodness. Thus, according to this theory, the Kumaras were actually fully attached to the impersonal Supreme, and only pretending to be attracted to the illusory duality of the personality of Godhead. Lord Narayan is just a reflected substitute for the Supreme. Many varieties of upadis can be superimposed on Brahman. The personality of Godhead thus has a body, with varied limbs and other features. And there are various ideas of who God is. Some think he's Vishnu, some Shiva, some Durga, some Surya, some Ganesh. It does not matter which one prefers, since none of them are in fact the pure Supreme. Okay, so think about this. Give your answer, and I hope nobody comes back from a vacation wearing three-line tilak. Yeah. You have to answer this and not become bewildered by it. Yes,
sir. Question about the previous Purvapaksha. So I was thinking
previous ones.
Yeah, about that their senses were attracted, not themselves.
Yeah.
again, going back to the vision of Narada Muni, when he was not mature in his meditation, he saw the Lord. His senses, of course, did not get disconnected from the soul, but they did get attracted, whereas he himself, on Lord Vishnu's admission, was not ready to such a sight. In other words, he didn't really have the feeling towards the Lord, but his senses, because his Lord was so beautiful, they were attracted to him. And therefore, he said, no, you're not going to see me anymore in this lifetime, because you're not ready for that. Even though he did experience, all his senses did experience intense attraction.
Yes.
So how would we?
But it said that he already had bhakti before he even went to the forest.
But Yuga Goswami, in his commentary, said that he was contaminated by the Lord of goodness, and that's why he was not ready. Vishwanachakarta says that it was actually for somebody else, the whole experience, he was ready, but Yuga Goswami said that he was not ready.
Okay, but it doesn't mean there was no attraction, just immature attraction. It's not that he, the person inside, was not attracted at all, just his attraction to the Lord was immature. No? It's not that only his senses were attracted and he wasn't. Just his attraction wasn't clarified yet. It wasn't purified.
So in other words, the real answer to that problem actually is to say that whatever attraction a person feels, even on a material platform, is actually the soul is attracted, not the sense. It's applicable to...
Well, yeah, because attraction and repulsion, happiness and stress are qualities of the self, really. The mind is a physical substance. It doesn't experience anything. Happiness or distress or anything. The mind is not, the physical, subtle body is not conscious. The soul is conscious. So all these qualities of consciousness belong to the self. Even the Nyaya Vaisheshika materialists recognize that. That these are proper qualities of the self, not of any other element. A what?
An infinite upadi.
Oh, that means it's an upadi, it's a big upadi that covers all of Brahman, not just a part.
How is that possible? I'm just even trying to understand.
It's not possible, and there's so many arguments against the possibility of it.
Okay.
How can anything cover Brahman?
Right, that's
you know, the whole Brahman. Right. Then it's, first of all, it's bringing Brahman under control, and Brahman is, has that deficit of being, dominated by this upadi. So the upadi is better than Brahman. It's, there are various absurdities, that come out of this idea. But that's the theory. That's where Ishvara comes from. Personality of Godhead is when, instead of where we come from, small pieces of the Absolute being covered over by illusion, when the whole thing gets covered over completely, then you get God. But what is that? This is absurd.
Yeah. And also, Brahman begins to reveal itself in his finite consciousness.
The jiva has a finite consciousness. As long as he's still a jiva. When I become fully realized, I'll merge and I won't be a jiva anymore. But for now, I'm a jiva, so my consciousness is finite. And I begin to realize Brahman when it reflects itself in my jiva consciousness, while I'm still a jiva.
Oh, okay, that's clear. I mean, that part of, I thought that this line just refers to Brahman as, Brahman begins to reveal itself in his finite consciousness in terms of,
Brahman?
They say about Krishna, not about the jiva, the jiva that's just...
Mm-hmm. Well, I can, where is it? I can just add the noun, is, I could say the jiva.
Starting with you personally.
Just give me a couple of words so I can search for them.
Brahman begins to reveal itself.
Begins to. It's not in the whole file. Why? Hold on a second. Let me start from the beginning of the file. Begins to is the exact words?
Yeah, Brahman begins to reveal.
Brahman reveals to his... Well, his means the person's finite consciousness, right?
So this line is speaking about the jivas, because I thought from the context it's just referring to God, that there is the infinite Brahman.
Okay, in the person's finite consciousness.
Oh, okay.
For a person, that's what I meant, his different.
Okay.
Otherwise it'd be, For a person approaching the successful self-realization, Brahman begins to reveal itself in the person's finite consciousness.
Okay.
Okay. We have to stop for overtime. Sorry. tomorrow we can discuss. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.